evening, and welcome to Radio PRS. I'm your co-host, Mike Granton. Radio PRS is brought to you by the Psychical Research Society of Kansas City. PRS is a not-for-profit organization whose purposes include programs and activities to investigate, study, research, demonstrate, discuss, interpret, and expand information concerning psychic phenomena, parapsychology, and related subjects, and to disseminate information by any and all media of communication. The Psychical Research Society is not just an organization for those who practice the intuitive arts. We're here for anyone who is interested in exploring the subjects covered in our mission statement. If you'd like more information on becoming a member, please visit our website at prskc.org. The views and opinions expressed on Radio PRS do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of PRS, its board, or its membership. Our guest this evening is intuitive artist Susan Prout. You can call in and talk with Susan and Nikki this evening at 646-668-8212. Now here's your host, Nikki Williams.
Good evening, Mike. How are you this fine evening?
I'm good. How are you?
I am wonderful. Been a beautiful day, beautiful couple of days. It's nice to have spring around. I know we're going to be bouncing back and forth with this March weather a little bit, but hey, that's what makes living in the Midwest extremely interesting. If nothing else, there's always a weather to talk about. I'm so glad to welcome you all here this evening, and I am especially excited to welcome back, for her second time on the show, the wonderful and amazing Susan Prout. Susan, we are so glad to have you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, anytime.
I always love to take the time to chat with you.
I love to chat with you, too. I really, and I enjoy talking with everybody on the show, but there are certain guests that I think we just kind of click as far as our conversations go, and you're definitely one of those guests.
Oh,
I really enjoy having you. For those of our guests who, because it's been a while since we've had you on the show, but for those of our listeners who have not, who didn't get to listen about you last time, tell us, before we get started talking about other things, tell us about you and your journey and how you came to the point in your spiritual path where you're at now.
Well, for me, actually, it started at a very, very young age. Both 4 and then again at 6, I actually had near-death experiences where I had to have life-saving surgeries that I had experiences, you know, during those surgeries and during the recovery of. I was just able to see my angels and all the time after that. And then in it was 1992, right after my younger two children were born. I was able to see everybody's, and they were very insistent that what I do with that was to help other people be able to connect with that energy and be able to see their own angels as well by using art. So they took the time and taught me how to draw, and it's just kind of keeps growing and expanding and exploding sometimes from there.
Oh, wow. And that's an amazing story. And to think that it all began with those near-death experiences and as a young child, what an amazing, I don't have the words. I want to say it was a blessing in disguise in a way. It was a gift, even though with through a
and,
hardship.
You know, and like with any journey, that it hasn't always been easy, but it's never been boring.
Wow. That's just, I love it. And the thing is that I love that it's developed to where it was angels. You can see everyone's angels. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, and I know for myself that bringing my children into this world was a spiritually life-changing experience in different ways for me than I'm sure, you know, I think it's that way for everybody. But what a beautiful expression of life, both physically and spiritually, and all in its completion. Wow. So tell us a little bit about that art. How do you go about channeling that? You say that the angels were the ones that guided you and taught you how to do this.
Now I've kind of learned how to turn the volume down a little bit. At least that's how I refer to it. When I look at people, I see kind of like clouds of color that is just, you know, constantly moving. And when I sit down with someone with the, and we both have the intention of doing their angel portrait, then just one of them takes shape and defines color for me. And it's kind of like seeing clouds of light is the best way I can put it.
Wow. That's really amazing. And I can kind of understand. Mine is a little different. I see auras. But so I know that's a different property. It's not the same as seeing someone's angels. But I can relate into being able to see a form of energy that is around people. For me, it's very much the colors. And I always thought, because I grew up with that, I always thought, well, this was normal. Everybody can see all these beautiful things, beautiful, wonderful things. And it wasn't until I was, a little bit old, about a teenager, that I realized, no, not everybody can do that. Most people don't see those types of energy fields, whether it be angel energy or whether it be auras or different type of, I want to say, like biological or even spiritual energies. Magnetic energies. So it's interesting to me. I love when I come across another person who has a different type of that sight. That's really amazing. And so this is for you. Is this a constant thing as well that you?
Yes.
I know you said you've turned the volume down a little bit.
Yeah, and that's taken years of practice to be able to do that.
Wow. What was it like for you early on before you were able to do that?
It was a little overwhelming sometimes. Going into large crowds of people was difficult.
Oh, yeah.
So it was some of these angels that people have carry with them are very powerful, and they're all, 8, 10, 12 feet tall.
Right. Oh, yeah.
At least that's how they appear. So, like going to see the Royals game or the Chiefs game was, not really something I was comfortable doing.
No. Oh, wow. Well, that's amazing. How did you learn to kind of turn that down so that you could function better and cope better with that?
Part of it was, having kids, I had to go into some situations. So I had to learn to adjust to the energy a little bit myself, and part of that was, asking my angels to help me with that. Because they love it when we ask for their help.
Yeah.
That's like their main purpose. Yeah. So if we're not asking them for help, we're taking their purpose away from them. So ask for help.
Oh, wow. Definitely ask for help.
If it's little things.
Yeah.
Well, we think of as little things.
but they see the larger purpose. They see the larger purpose of
what
we think of as little things. Mm-hmm. Totally. I think it kind of reminds me of when you talk about how it could be overwhelming. It's not the same, I know, but it reminds me of, as an empath, how going into, for example, a crowded room or a room where emotional tensions are high, it can just bombard you and overwhelm you. And that's a huge learning process, learning to, A, separate your emotions from others, and B, kind of tune them out a little bit so that you can go about your day-to-day life and activities and the things that you need to get done.
And taking the time to check in with yourself on a regular basis just to see how you're feeling, so that when people's emotions come into it, you know where you're at. And this person walked in the room, so I know this extra weight that I'm now carrying is not me, and I don't need to take it with me. I can leave that behind.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
Do our angels ever, like, for example, mine and yours, or yours and those of another, do they interact with each other?
Yes, they do. Yeah, no, I don't think anybody has ever asked me that before.
New question. There you go.
Yeah, they do, because you know, especially the closer you are, the more personal your relationship is with someone, the more they interact with each other. Because you two, like you and your husband, you have a soul contract with each other, to be part of each other's journey. And so do your angels. They have that same contract.
Wow, that's amazing. Here's another question just going off of that. So, and it makes sense to me, especially with close relationships. Are there other angelic beings that are specifically, I guess I would say, assigned to specific relationships? Like, for example, I have my angels, my daughter has hers, they do interact, but are there angelic beings that are specifically, their purpose is that relationship?
Actually, more that is more with the parent-child relationship. We, as parents, when we, on a soul level, make that step, and once that, and your first child is, actually conceived, then another angel does join you, both the mother and the father.
Interesting. And that makes sense. Mm-hmm. That makes sense, too. This new life entering the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very cool. I am loving this. Very cool. what are some of the things that you have learned yourself from your angels or from interacting with the angels of others?
Oh, that's a tough one. Of course you'd have to ask a tough one, wouldn't you? I think this is something that everybody has to learn, whether they're in contact with their angels or not. It's been really a tough one for me to learn is to, like everybody else, I'm my own worst critic. And to not just not be so hard on myself.
Wow.
I tend to be a perfectionist, especially with my art. And, need to not be so hard on myself.
I agree.
You know, forgive myself. The hardest person to forgive is yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that goes for all of us.
I think it really does, too, because I think we come into this world with a sense of, we come out of spirit. We come into this world, so we're still surrounded in many ways by that constant divine love. We've just been in that. And then from then on, we're kind of bombarded with, you didn't do that right. You're not good enough. You can't go do that. You don't have that talent. You don't have this talent. You know, and we're constantly bombarded societally, some of us parentally, some of us, with the messages of you don't measure up. And it sticks a lot. And I guess they call them, those old tapes, the tapes that keep playing over and over again. The old negative messages and the negative criticism. Mm-hmm. And there is a way to strive to better yourself without putting yourself down.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I really think that I don't know if I'm coining a phrase here, but I think that type of negative language that we get from society and sometimes teachers or parents or even other kids as we're growing up. Mm-hmm. I'd almost call that spiritual abuse.
Mm-hmm.
Because and Shel Silverstein, one of my favorite children's poets of all time, he once said, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can break my heart. Mm-hmm. And in damaging the heart, you're damaging the spirit, the soul of the person. Or maybe not the soul, because the soul learns lessons, but it's the spirit. Mm-hmm. And it's something I think that we all not only have to think of, as we're adults, we have to learn how to talk ourselves back up again.
Yeah.
Wow, and that's a tough lesson to learn. And
mm-hmm.
blessings to your angels and to the angels of everyone for trying to show us our true worth.
Yes.
So tell me a little bit more, if you would please, about your process, about how you go about creating these beautiful angel portraits.
For me at this point, it's really almost second nature. Really the only thing it's easier for me to do it, oddly enough, with my glasses off than on. That's just one of those things that kind of helps me, you know, kind of lift that veil just a little bit.
Totally. I'm legally blind, so I totally get it. totally get that.
And they don't show me everything all at once. You know, they usually first show me the body. And interestingly enough, almost everybody that I've ever seen, they're always, you know, have their arms out as if they're ready to just give you a great big hug.
Oh, I love
and
that.
And then they're what we call their wings. In your mind, imagine, you know, here you have a being that's anywhere from 8 to 10, 12 feet tall. How big would their wings, what we call wings, really have to be able to carry them?
Oh, wow.
And then think, okay, they're made of light. They really don't need wings to carry them anywhere. But, so the wings really are, they're something that man has put on them.
Right.
But really what their wings are, it's more their aura, their personal energy field. And that's why each one, every angel that I've ever seen, there's never been two sets of wings to be exactly alike. They're like fingerprints. Yeah, I've seen some similarities sometimes, but I've never seen two be exactly alike. You know, even with, one time we did twin sisters. Did both of their angel portraits, and it was interesting because the main color of the body of one was the main color of the wings in the other, and then that was reversed in the other one, but still the design and shape and pattern in the wings were very different from each other.
That's amazing. I never would have thought to even think about that, about twins, about identical twins. That's fascinating. Wow. I have a question. Do you see the angels for pets, for animals?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I'm not saying they don't.
It's just not what it is you're seeing. I understand.
That's just not what I am shown.
Right. I understand that.
Mm-hmm. Huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and another thing that's been kind of interesting, too, is I've noticed as I've been asked a couple times to draw angel portraits for people who are in, the stages of, of crossing over and making their transitions, and they knew they were. But they still wanted to have an angel portrait done, and those were some of the most energetically wise and just being able to focus on their angels, those were some of the most difficult ones I ever did. And once someone has crossed over, I cannot, their angels go with them. So I'm no longer, I'm not able to, draw the angels of someone, a family member who's, say, already crossed.
That's really fascinating. And it makes sense to me. My logic kicks in.
I'm sorry, you're cutting out a little bit. getting staticky. Hello? I'm sorry, I'm not able to understand you.
Oh, hold on. Well, I guess we're having some technical difficulties.
Oh, that actually, I can hear
energy.
You again now. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, you're starting to come
back
a little bit.
That happens occasionally. That happens occasionally on the show, where we get energy that's just kind of starts to interfere with all of the electric signals, and
mm-hmm.
it does happen
and
from
I
time
don't,
to time.
And I don't know about where you're at, but it is raining here just a little bit too.
Ah, well, it hasn't started raining. We're in the wonderful wide world of Belton. It hasn't started raining here yet, but I do know it's supposed to. Okay, I apologize for the technical difficulties, guys. Some crazy stuff going on there for just a second. But we are here with Susan Prout. We will be taking calls if you have questions about what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about angels, angel portraits. We're going to talk more about Susan's other artwork. We're also maybe getting to talk about CBD a little bit. But we are not taking reading calls tonight. So if you're planning on calling for a reading, we will not be doing readings this evening. Okay. Let's go back to this fascinates me because as much as I see and I see a lot, angels are not one of the things that I have been gifted with the ability to see. So it really does. It fascinates me completely, and I I have a lot of respect and reverence for that gift that you have. It's amazing, and you use it really to truly help people to connect with those, with that divine. I have a question. Do you have any type of advice for how people can open themselves up to their divine connection, to that angel connection?
Meditation, number one. And you don't need to start a big long where you need to sit down for an hour and not, if you actually start out with just 5 or 10 minutes every day and try and do it about the same time every day, because that is part of what trains the brain to get, to recognize that, hey, this is my time where I can relax.
Yes. Yes. That really
does. If you're only
going to
do, if you're only going to do one thing, meditate for just a few minutes every day.
Yes, indeed. And I always, in teaching my meditation classes, I always tell, I know that I always say, there's not a wrong way. If you are trying to meditate, you are doing something right. Totally doing something right.
Mm-hmm. There's, 7 billion people on the planet right now, and I honestly believe there's a slightly different way of meditation for each and every person.
Oh, I totally agree. And it's because I do get a lot of people who say, well, I can't seem to do it. I'm not doing something right. I'm doing it wrong. And they think they have to be a master yogi or something. It's like, no, you don't need
no.
to breathe, people, breathe.
Mm-hmm.
Start with the breathing, man.
Mm-hmm. And one tip I give some people, too, is to if you're breathing and, really, and trying to let go at the same time, shake your head for a few seconds. Just, gently shake your head to side to side because you literally just can't breathe and think at the same time. And shake your head. You just can't do it. So it's just a simple thing to kind of shake those thoughts off. Because we all first do the, oh, gee, I should have changed the laundry before I sat down, and I need to put this on the grocery list, and just all that stuff.
Yes, we do.
Uh-huh.
That is true.
Yeah, just shake it off and let it go. It'll still be there when you're done in 10 minutes.
Exactly. Yes, it will. The laundry will definitely still be there. It isn't going anywhere.
Right.
Unless it's been dirty long enough to grow legs and get up and walk away.
But it's probably not going to do that in 10 minutes.
Probably not. No. That would take a while.
Yeah.
But I really firmly believe in the power of meditation as a healing tool, as a relaxation tool, and as a tool to connect with your higher self or with your divine self. I experienced it myself. And you know, the moment, I don't really know how to explain it, because if you can explain it, you don't know it. You know what I mean? That moment when you are completely aware of your oneness with all, and the sense of self drops away, the sense of ego drops away. And once you'll know you've reached it, because once you have, that is what you crave. You crave it every time. And it's the purest bliss. And I think that's the best way I can put it. And I know I'm not doing it justice, because there are no words to describe that. They're just, they don't exist.
No, not really. No. Especially in the English language, we have, we even only have one word for love. And so many other languages have multiple words.
Yes, and I've never quite understood that, because English in and of itself is a language that has over 300,000 words. The average vocabulary is a little over 3,000 words. The supposed largest vocabulary in history was that of William Shakespeare, who had about 30,000, but invented a lot of them. And so it amazes me that in a language that's so diverse and takes its roots from so many other languages, that we only have one word for love. We only have that one word. And we have a thesaurus full of synonyms for everything else. We have a lot of ways to say anger. We have a lot of ways to say fear, and these negative emotions and feelings, but yet love, just the one word, and to describe so many different types of love. It really is.
It is.
So tell me, I know that that the angel portraits are one thing that you do, and you also do mandalas. Yes.
Yes. Yeah, that's a project I started almost 6 years ago now. I started in 2012. That's when I first started the project. Another gentleman who local healer here in the Kansas City area first introduced me to the self-agio frequencies and actually asked me to do mandalas. I was just starting to play with them. And he was doing a class, and he asked me to do mandalas based on these solfeggio frequencies. And he introduced me to six of the frequencies. And being the person I am, and some of it also, I'll admit it, an internet geek, I started doing a bunch of research and found out that there's not just six solfeggio frequencies. There's actually the core is actually nine sets of nine frequencies. So I'm going through and creating one set at a time, a mandala for each of those frequencies. I have, so far I've completed four sets. I'm almost done with the fifth.
Wow.
I'm actually working on the ninth mandala of that set right now.
You go, girl. Wow. That's a lot. You have so much going on. You're one of those people, and I have so much respect. I can't multitask to save my life. But you wear so many hats.
Well, part of that is, the little bit of the ADHD, and I get bored.
No, I understand that completely, yeah. I know that feeling.
So it's like, okay, let's go play with this for a while.
Well, tell us a little bit about, for those that don't know, what solfeggio frequencies are.
The thing that sets them apart is the core ones are three digits, And those digits always add up to either 3, 6, or 9.
Magic numbers.
And I know one of the things that was interesting for me, partly because my birthday is, you know, is 3-6, that even as a kid, those numbers were always very, very important to me. And I never really knew why. But, you know, everything I always like to do, I always look to see, does this add up to 3, 6, or 9?
Wow.
And, you know, so finally, you know, in 2012, I understand why.
That is,
but, you know, it's all,
yeah.
It's, you know, it's all based on sacred geometry and going back to last time the Sphaju frequencies were really used was when, in the 1600s, where they with the Gregorian chants. And there were still a few instruments at that time being built to play the Sphaju frequencies.
And is this a possible thing now? Is it possible to play those frequencies?
There's some tonal software that you can go access on the internet and play those frequencies. Some musicians are now starting to tune their instruments, you know, to the Sphagios and the crystal bowl meditations that I do. The bowls that I have are tuned to the Sphagio frequencies.
Wow. And what are the benefits of those frequencies?
Because they are the frequencies that were used to sing our universe into existence, to go into the ancient stories, they can really help you realign with your original blueprint, with not communicate with the planet and with the universe at large, with your higher self.
Wonderful, wonderful. And now you create coloring books, yes, and also meditation decks.
Mm-hmm.
Am I correct?
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm.
I dig coloring. I am a huge.
I've done a few coloring parties, and they're fun.
Yeah, I've seen that. What I love about coloring, and is that finally, modern science seems to see the benefits of like meditation, for example. And one of the things that I've been reading about a lot is how people who tend to have a difficult time working on their meditation, that coloring is an excellent alternative for them. That it
mm-hmm.
has very similar benefits to meditation in its relaxation.
Oh, yeah.
And the ability to kind of turn off the world for a while, lose yourself in the colors, you know. And
mm-hmm.
it's I'm a huge proponent of coloring. Everybody get your crayons. As a matter of fact, we gave everybody in the family crayons and coloring books for their birthdays last year.
Oh, awesome.
And I just think it's wonderful. Now, the coloring book mandala was also based on the Sphaju frequencies.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and then it's like your color, the one you're coloring, you know, on the right page then gives on the left is the explanation as to what that particular frequency can help you do and what, you know, what you can accomplish with that frequency.
Wonderful.
Each one can, you know, help you, you know, awaken your intuition, you know, DNA repair, all different types of things.
That's amazing. I love it. Oh, my gosh. You know, and a lot of people think of mandalas as just pretty kaleidoscope-looking type of pictures and drawings, but there's just so much more than that. There's so much more.
Oh, yeah. I know I actually was having a discussion with a couple of other people that recently that work with mandalas as well, and we came to the conclusion between us that if you ever worked with the hand mudras, during meditation, and
right, yes,
yeah, and what they accomplish, they help. You know, you're connecting then different meridians that are running through your physical body and spiritual body as well. But that's what a mudra is. It's a it's one of those, or a mandala is one of those mudras frozen in time. So they can help you realign your meridian system as you color those. So it is a healing process, a healing technique as well.
It really is. It really is. Very much so.
Mm-hmm.
Which explains why I get so much healing from it.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do. And when my world kind of seems a bit crowded and chaotic or I'm not feeling well, I will sit down with my mandala color books and my crayons and just let go. And I tell you, I have noticed that for me, it speeds up the healing process.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. What are some of the other things you've got going on right now?
I'm also doing the crystal ball meditations in a few locations every month. And those are, awesome as well, just because you can take a sound bath in the aphasia frequencies. So it's very
awesome.
Healing, very balancing, really just, and it's each location that I do that, I try to do something just a little bit different. So I do one that's, we do very close to the new moon every month. So we actually, have everybody write their intentions and then we burn them at the end. I do another one that I bring one of the angel porters of one of the archangels. And so I'll call in the energy of that particular archangel. And so I try to do something, just a little bit different with each one.
I think that's wonderful. And I also think that when thinking of crystal singing bowls, I have one myself. The sound is angelic. It's truly ethereal. It really is. And the overtones, when you get them going, the overtones that you can hear, it's like you hear choirs of angels singing, and it lifts you into an altered state of consciousness.
Yes, it does. And I know with communicating with some of my own angels, not all of them even talk English. They refuse to do English, speaking English, and they only speak in their native tongue, which is pretty much, which is musical, very musical. And I honestly believe that it is actually the Salvaggio frequencies.
I hadn't even thought about that. And that makes sense if that was the frequency of creation. And totally, that makes sense. It makes perfect sense. Wow. Wow, you've got a lot of great stuff going on. So, okay, we're going to segue into what is currently my favorite topic in the entire universe. You know where I'm going with this, don't you?
I know exactly where you're going with this.
We're going to talk about CBD because you are the CBD lady.
Yes.
Not long ago,
that actually started out as kind of a joke, but yeah.
That's in it.
And
not long ago.
And
not long ago, we had Vince Sanders and Eric Banks on the show and spent the whole hour talking about the wonders of CBD. And I know that you are now distributing CBD. Christy Stuckey is as well, myself, and some others. We have, and hopefully we're starting a healing revolution, I think, here in the Kansas City area and further out. So tell us a little bit about your CBD experience.
I know I started out, as being friends with Eric and Rebecca as well. When they first brought it actually to KC Metaphysical, I had been struggling for 2 or 3 years with insomnia, where I literally did not sleep at all, one, sometimes two nights a week. And after having the product in my system for 24 hours, I have not missed a night's sleep.
Oh, that's so great.
Yeah, I'm not saying I get, sometimes I still don't get, 8 hours. But, hey, I'll take 4 or 5 hours over nothing any day of the week.
I tended to vacillate between insomnia and then periods of time where I would sleep for 14, 16, 20 hours straight.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
because
then
my
you
got to
catch up with those hours you missed.
Exactly, exactly. I have not had that problem since I started the CBD. And at the time I started it, which was after we did our show in January, the time I started it, I was going through seasonal affect disorder. I have seasonal affect disorder, which for those of you who don't know, is very severe depression that coincides with the late fall and winter months of the year. And I didn't have the energy to hardly even just think about getting out of bed. Even if I wasn't sleeping, I didn't want to do anything. And I mean nothing. It's like, here, Nikki, you want a drink of water? Nope, don't want anything. But within the first couple of days, all of a sudden it's like the sun came out and it was spring. And spring is something when you have seasonal affect disorder that you crave. You crave spring.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, if the spring just returns, then life comes back. And it was like, and it was in January, and spring came back for me. And I also struggle with obsessive compulsive disorder, have my whole life, and other anxiety issues. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was almost instant that I noticed a difference. So, I mean, this stuff, and it works great for my fibromyalgia. I feel better than I have in the past 20 years. I swear to Pete, whoever Pete is.
Yeah, I know, affecting my insomnia, I had other side effects too, or what I jokingly call them side effects. I had a little arthritis in my knees, and I haven't had any trouble with that now for months. And, my anxiety levels down, and, I was still having a few of those menopausal hot flashes, so my hormones were still off. And that has greatly improved as well.
Wow. I've had some people say, it sounds like it's one of those cure-alls. I said, no, it's not a cure-all, but it's a help-all. For me, I know personally, it's improved so many different aspects of my life, health-wise, attitude-wise, mentally, emotionally. It's a help-all. I really think that.
Now, I've been continuing to do a lot of research on it, and one of the things I've come to understand is every single organ in your body has cannabinoid receptors. And once you start feeding those receptors, it really helps bring the body back into balance and just kind of reminds the body how to heal itself.
Oh, yeah. And as I understand it, the American Medical Association just recently has coined the term endocannabinoid deficiency, that it's an actual thing that they're starting to recognize our body needs these cannabinoids.
Yes. And they are referring to it as a disorder. And then I've actually found that article and posted it on my blog. And and underneath it are things like multiple sclerosis, fibromyalgia, insomnia, and that list goes on.
It's amazing to me to see all of the stories and some research now finally of exactly what amazing things CBD can do from really and truly helping with epilepsy for children that have experienced massive amounts of seizures like their entire life from birth, to helping people with multiple sclerosis, to helping people get off their addictions to opioid painkillers, to helping with fibromyalgia, that's a big one, and anxiety, depression, I mean, the list just goes on and on. It just goes.
These kids that are, so many of our children have been labeled as, having the ADD and ADHD, and it's helping those kids as well. I know. I wish to God this product had been around when my kids were young.
Oh, yeah.
But I would have
given
it to him in a heartbeat.
Yeah, actually, and it's interesting you mention that now because I just recently put my youngest daughter, who's 18, she's in college now. She is a person with autism, also ADHD, OCD, and I and she's been on lots of medications her life so that she can function. Because without them before the medication, she simply could not. It was not possible for her. But we all know those type of psychoactive medications have side effects and. They're not the best that we can do for our kids. They were probably at the time, but
they were the best we knew.
Exactly. That's what we had. That's what we had. So we did what we had to do to help them the best we could. And I started on her on just the lowest strength, because she's very sensitive to any type of chemical. Mm-hmm. And immediately she said, I have the energy to get through my day, which she never did before because one of her medications makes her very sleepy. She said, I got through my whole day. I didn't take a nap. I didn't have to. I felt great. I feel focused. I feel happy. I feel comfortable. And I can go about my day and be me. And as a mom, I mean,
yeah.
As someone who's had to advocate for her and work with her for her entire life to try to get her to be able to function, this is nothing short of a miracle for her.
Yes. Mm-hmm. My daughter suffers from psoriasis, and she's been using the topical formula on that, and that's, you know, we're seeing some great improvement even with
Wonderful.
That. Wonderful. So. Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. Oh, yeah, because that's something that the doctors for ages have had a very hard time treating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's something, you know, they can give you these heavy medications and steroids to deal, you know, and steroid creams and all this stuff. But, you know, it gets it better for a while, but then it always comes back.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here is... hoping that with the CBD, it doesn't come back.
Yes.
That would be great. That would be great.
That would be fabulous.
Tell us a little bit of that story of how you got the CBD lady nickname.
Actually, I was actually in Chicago at a metaphysical fair, and Rebecca and I had gone up there with CBD, and every time I went to the bathroom, I heard somebody say, there's the CBD lady.
Awesome.
Yeah,
it's kind of stuck.
Yeah, and it is, you know, and the whole way home, you know, Rebecca's been bugging me for a couple of weeks to, you know, get my own website with this. So I'd been trying to figure out, you know, just what domain name to even get. And I, you know, finally on the way, we were about halfway home and it dawned on me. The CBD, you know, the CBD lady.
That's right. Oh, wow. That's
so
awesome.
It was really more of
a, it's
was
also
more
very
of a
easy
joke.
To remember.
Yes.
Mhm. Yeah. Yeah. You are the CBD lady. You are, and I actually, I've heard a lot of people refer to you as that, my dear. You may have to change your name legally.
Yeah, and,
oh,
and,
wow.
Yeah, and I even got the, instead of getting the .com, I intentionally got the .info because I don't want it to be just a place where you can go buy the CBD. I want it to be a place where people can go and learn about CBDs. So I've created, you know, I'm posting a blog article almost every single day. And most of them are articles I'm finding other places, and which I do link back to the source where I found the article as well. But So you can just go one place and learn all these different things about CBD.
Wonderful, wonderful. And, you know, I think there's a lot of misinformation out there, so it's really good to educate people. I firmly believe knowledge is power. I really believe that. Once you have the knowledge, you have the power to make decisions. You have the power to change your own life.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And so bringing people this knowledge and empowering them with that tool of that knowledge allows them to take that into their own hands, to take their own health and well-being into their own hands.
Mm-hmm.
And I think more and more people in this day and age are wanting to do that, very much so.
Yeah, it's like the government is almost trying to take that away from us. And, you know, they're not going to give it back. You know, we need to take it back. You know, we know our bodies and how they work and how they function through a daily basis much better than a doctor can understand when we only get him for 5 minutes. And I know that they're doing the best they can with the system that they're working with. But, you know, we need more than that. And we need to step up and learn how to take care of ourselves.
Very true. Very wise words. Very wise words from a wonderful guest, Susan Prout. Do you have anything else you'd like to share with us? Any events coming up that you may be doing that we can know about?
I know I'll be in Lawrence on Saturday doing angel portraits at Blue Lotus. I'll also be doing a class there Friday evening doing crystal grids with the meditation deck. And then I'll be coming up, I'll be at Oracles of Aquarius the first weekend in April. I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with that wonderful fair there at Aquarius Bookstore. And then on that Sunday evening, I'll be leaving just a tiny bit early because I have a crystal ball meditation at Mark Blanchard Yoga Studio.
Wow.
Well, that's just what
I've
going on in the next. Yeah, that's what's just going on
just the
next
few weeks.
10 days.
Wow. Like I said, you wear a lot of hats, girl. You wear a lot of hats.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to you. Wonderful. So let us know how we can contact you to find out more info about your angel portraits, about your mandalas, and how we can get the Cohen books, and also about CBD.
The CBD, the best place is cbdlady.info. And then also there's information about all the other things that I'm doing, my art, my events and things, at susanproutart.com.
Wonderful, wonderful. So we can find all of the wonderful artistic things that you do.
And, of course, I'm on Facebook page, too, on Facebook as well.
Ah, yes. Yay, Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what I'd do without that.
I don't know either.
Without it before. Wonderful. Well, we're going to go to Mike really quick so he can tell us what's coming up in PRS over the next few months. Take it away, Mikey.
All right. Coming up next month, April 16th, we'll have Dr. Stephen Summers with Past Life Regression. He'll be giving both a talk and a group session. May 21st, our guest will be Susan McKenzie. And June 11th, our guest will be Matthew Gaines. All of the information for these and our other events will be on our website, prskc.org. And all of these meetings are at the Westwood, Kansas Community Center at 4700 Rainbow.
Wonderful. And just to let you know that members of PRS do get in for free to all of our meetings. They are open to the public as well for a small fee of $5. They are at the Westwood Community Center at 4700 Rainbow Boulevard. And we have a wonderful time. Be sure to check out our website, again, prskc.org. The next couple of weeks here on Radio PRS are going to be really awesome. Next week we have Mandy Noggle from Brain Fitness. We're going to be talking about the metaphysical side of neuroscience and brain fitness and brain functioning. I'm really excited about that. I love those types of topics. They just absolutely fascinate me. I love to sit down and research all of that. The week after that, we have Gregory Pergana, the KC Light Community. He's also a gemstone healer and therapist. He's going to be with us that very first week of April. So we have a wonderful episode coming up. I want to thank you again, Susan. It's starting to storm like crazy here in Belton, so I think we're going to sign off a few minutes early. But thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Well, thanks for having me. It's been fun.
It really has, and you are welcome back anytime, my dear, and you have a
thanks.
Very blessed and beautiful evening, and thank you again.
You too. Okay, thank you.
And thank you to Mike for being such a wonderful guest there at well, I guess he's not really a guest, for being such a wonderful co-host. Well, he can be a guest. Be my guest, Mike. And thank you to PRS for bringing us this wonderful program every week. Thank you again to Susan Prout for being such a fabulous guest tonight. Thank you to everyone for listening. Be sure you remember that this episode, as well as all of our episodes, are archived at blogtalkradio.com/PRSKCRadio. So if you'd like to, you can go and listen to past episodes, or if you know anyone who missed this episode tonight and would like to check it out, let them know where they can. Have a beautiful and wonderful evening. Blessings to all of you. Cue that music.